Welcome back to the Fostering Conversation podcast presented by Welcome Home Youth Advocacy. Today, sitting around the table, we have Mike Schaefer, myself, Brant Nine, and Denny Yoder. And there's a lot to get to as we look forward to 2026. And so I'm going to have Mike go ahead and kick us off.
Thanks, Brant. Today's episode is going to be a little different. I just wanted to, you know, as we transition from 2025 to 2026, just kind of wanted to take a look back at the last year and what has happened, what God has helped us accomplish, and what we hope to see happen and accomplish in 2026. So for both of you, if you had to use one word or one phrase to describe 2025 for Welcome Home, what would it be and why?
I'm going to let Denny go first because Mike didn't prepare us with this question, did he?
No, he didn't, but I think probably the one word I would, it's going to be more than one word.
Mm. It's supposed to be one word, Denny.
I know.
Okay. I said phrase, too.
Oh, okay. All right.
But God. Mm. We couldn't have done it, but God.
Yeah.
It couldn't have happened, but God.
Yeah.
We couldn't have accomplished, but God.
Yeah. That's good. That was my phrase, too, but... No, kidding. That's a really good one. I think persistence kind of sticks out as a word. I think Mike was persistent, didn't lose hope, was unsure at times, but felt like, God, you know, you have us here. I'm going to keep going even when I don't see it. And the but God phrase really kind of ties a knot on that mm-hmm. bow, because without him in our obedience and the call, it was a year.
Yeah, I think, you know, the God thing sticks out so much because, you know, just I look at the beginning of 2025 and where we were and then how 2025 worked its way out. And you know, even with, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but even with the building, like, it was presented to us and we didn't have the funding. We didn't know where it was going to come from, but we accepted it and said, you know, God has brought this to us. There's a plan there. And God provided, even more than we could have imagined, going into that. So yeah, that's a great, great phrase to really describe 2025 for us. Mm.
I would probably add a second word, and I would say growth.
Mm. Yeah.
25's been a real year of growth in a lot of areas. I look at Mike, you personally, growth. I look at the agency and what has begun in the impacts of individuals. And growth, even in some of the individuals that you've impacted through Welcome Home, and to see the growth that has happened there. Mm-hmm. And so that would be probably a secondary impact, is just the growth that has happened to individuals, the growth that has happened to Welcome Home as an agency. Significant.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've loved to watch how... You said the growth in me, but, you know, that's all, again, that's a God thing itself. And to watch how God has been able to use my experience and my story to relate to other people and impact other people and just make a difference in people's lives. I couldn't have imagined that 2 years ago when this all started. It's been such a crazy thing to see happen, and it's very humbling because I look at it and say, well, it's just my life and that's my story and it is what it is. But it's been able to open a lot of doors that I don't think I would have had the opportunity in building relationships with certain people and certain kids. And yeah, it's given me that pathway to really establish those things, and it's just such a blessing to have that in my life. And it's just such a gift for sure. Mm-hmm. As we look back at the last year, we did less podcast episodes than we did in 2024, but I think we had some of the more poignant podcast episodes with certain guests. Mm-hmm. What episode stands out to you guys, whether it be with the Stutzmans or the Demeans or our talk about the adoption journey and how it, you know, continues after adoption and all those different things. We had a number of pretty big podcast episodes this year.
Oh, man. I need to see them all, so bear with me.
No, you're good.
Yeah, we started the year in 2025 with Mandy and Michaela from
Josiah
White. Josiah White's. Then we talked with Chris Knight about grief and loss.
Yeah, it was right after my grandmother passed away.
Mm. Yep. And then we talked with Brad and Hannah Stutzman about their story. And we took some time to talk about your story, yeah. Mike, again. We had Jason and Mandy Demean on and to talk through their adoption story. We phoned in Elizabeth Sutherland to talk with her. And then the last time we got on here, Mike, we talked about the lifelong journey when adoption is just the beginning. Man, you know, we just had them. All of those were incredible, every single one. I don't listen or partake in a fostering conversation podcast without walking away having learned something about foster care, learned something about the adoption process, learned something about myself, whether it's good or bad, my preconceived thoughts, my lack of understanding, ways that I can actually plug in and get involved. I can say with confidence 2025 has taught me that standing on the sidelines is not an option when it comes to foster care. It's just not an option, especially as a believer in Jesus. And so Francie and I are, my wife and I are still, you know, we had a conversation literally this morning about it. What's next? What is he calling us to now? How can we serve this community right now in the season we're in? And yeah, it's exciting. It's dangerous to me, but Christ doesn't call us to sit comfortably on the sidelines and watch things happen. He calls us to be active participants. So all of that being said, and acknowledging everyone we talked to in 2025, I would say between Brad and Hannah and Jason and Mandy's stories, those two really, there's so much power in story, because you hear about, you know, a couple who has four kids of their own, or you hear about a couple who has two adult children and they're, you know, they're a little bit older and yet they're looking to adopt this little kid, or, the family with four biological kids, the Stutzmans, they're looking to, their kids are getting older and now they have another elementary kid come into the mix. And how do you navigate that? And some, I think they had a middle school student prior to that one, and they were looking just to be respite care. And 4 years later, they still had that little girl with them. Those stories just lead to compassion, I feel like, and compassion in the biblical sense is always met with action. And so those two for me.
I don't want to belittle the fact that, same two for me. And I'm not just saying that, but it comes back to the power of the story that challenges us to get involved and to do something personally. I think that's the reason Jesus used parables and stories in the Bible and why they're so effective even today in our lives. And then we look at how these two couples came in, whether it be through the podcast or through this last Sunday morning when we had the opportunity to hear from Hannah and Brad again. The power of the story continues to remind me that I'm not exempt. I have to be involved because as the church, whether it be Walkie MC or the Big C Church, or the individuals that make up the church, because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. We have been given the charge to care for the least of these, the widow, the homeless, etc. Now, it doesn't at that point say you have to have 6 kids in your home. Mm-hmm. What it says is you're supposed to care for. What does that care mean? And I love the opportunity, the challenge that came from Brad and Hannah. It happens so often where she says, you know, it was that opportunity where someone said, hey, can I take your kids to practice? Why don't you just take care of your little one?
Yeah.
I'll take your kids to practice. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I'm dropping off a meal. Didn't ask, do I want it? Mm-hmm. Said, hey, this is what I'm doing. And I get challenged by that, because so often I say, hey, do you want me to do this, Brad? Mm-hmm. Do you want me to do this, Brad? Do you want me to do this, Mike? Instead of saying, hey, I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the most important thing that I've learned from that, to just do it, is to do it with the right intentions. And not making it about, like, I'm doing this, so I feel good about myself because I'm doing this. Hannah alluded to it, I think, on Sunday. You know, you drop off a meal, and maybe you just quite, you know, that's all that needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and some lines were crossed, and which led to 6 hours of, you know, of a trauma response in a kiddo, and I think that stuff so often happens because of our selfish, you know, either desires to know more or be more, when all we were asked to do is just serve selflessly and then let God do the rest.
Yeah.
And what I love about this podcast and being able to do it and, you know, to ask you guys this question is, and hear your responses, is a neat thing to me, because I get to hear it from a very different perspective when I hear these people share their story. You know, with Hannah and Brad, you know, as a former foster youth, just to see their love and their intentionality and their genuineness with these kids and caring about these kids really spoke to my heart. As like, man, I would have killed to have a family like that when I was going through the system. So that's what really stuck out to me with them. It's just like, man, that's incredible. And what you left those kids with that you had in your home for that period of time is invaluable. You'll never understand the impact that has on their life for the rest of their life moving forward. And we talk about that all the time. It's that, you know, it can be the smallest thing, but a kid will carry that with them for the rest of their time on this earth, because it's spoke to them. And Hannah and Brad, it's, you know, their story is so interesting, because they went in wanting to adopt, and then they had a surprise fourth biological child, and then God's plan for them shifted, and it was like, well, we can do respite care because we can help families. And then their first respite placement turned into 7 months, and and then they had a couple of respite placements, and then they had a kid for 4 years, and then they were going to adopt her, and, you know, and then everything that happened with that. And but, you know, even through the midst of all the pain and all the hurt and all the questions, they constantly reiterate it was worth it. Mm-hmm. It was 100% worth it, and they would do it again, because wouldn't you want that if you were that kid going through that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want that love? Wouldn't you want that family? So that stuck out to me. The Demean story is incredible. Just, you know, their persistence in what they did, and even with the hardships that they went through, and then just, you know, what their son's bio mom did for her, you know, baby boy, just to be sure he was safe.
Yeah.
In such a terrible situation, is incredible to me. I love talking to Liz and hearing from another foster care alum, and just getting that perspective of, you know, this the system and going through it impacts people in so many different ways. And so, you know, I think those. And then, you know, I liked the episode we had just in November about the lifelong journey of adoption, because I think people, you know, you get that Hollywood perspective of adoption, and then adoption happens and yay, happy story, everybody's it's good to go, and it's perfect for the rest of their lives, and that's just not the case. It really is just the beginning of all of that. So No, we had some really great episodes this year. Beyond the podcast, with all the programs that we implemented and things we did this year, between our community hands stuff, between opening the closet at Retta, between Trailblazer Camp, between starting the support group.
So much.
I know. What is the program that stuck out most to you guys this year, and why?
I'll jump in here, and I think probably it's close tie, but I think the single biggest one was Trailblazer Camp for me.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a half a day out there watching from a distance what was happening, and seeing kids just having the opportunity to be kids. Ate lunch with Mike and his group, and just, man, the time that they had that was all theirs. No one else was interrupting it. They were just experiencing what I believe was a God moment in time that he ordained for these kids to just walk away from their worlds in their families, their fostering worlds, and then have a time where he spoke directly to them. And watch that happen in their lives. And then probably the other one, because of how close it came to impacting, was the new support group that started in Elkhart. But I think the most impacting is Trailblazer Camp.
Mm. Yeah, I would say one and two for me would be Trailblazer Camp and then the community hands aspect. Trailblazer Camp is near and dear because it feels like, as a former teacher, it feels like, man, like that. And as a camp director myself, like, it feels like that is unique and monumental in what you guys are pushing forward and doing with that, Mike. And then community hands, like, I didn't even get to play a part in that or experience it, but I've heard so many stories about it, and I'm proud of our people at this church for getting involved. And so I think, you know, I think there's power in just educating people on needs, and then there's willing hands, there's people, and that for, you know, for us, it's how can we get involved. Well, for a lot of people, they can use their skills and abilities to get involved, and so yeah, those two are big for me. And then obviously I'm a little biased because I get to play a part in it, but the podcast would probably be number three for me. There, I could sit here and listen to stories all day, or chat with you guys and just see the evidence of God's faithfulness. I think it's just incredible.
Yeah, for me, you know, like you said, there was so many things that happened this year that we were able to implement and be a part of. And it's been such a blessing for me to watch it unfold, you know, just from the small things, and not even small, but like starting the closet and partnering with Retta to do that, and being a part of helping serve the women and the people that they try to serve in a small way. It's just such an amazing thing. And, you know, I think I spoke to it before, you know, the day I brought our items over there, and I brought a box of brand new shoes, and they were like, we just had a woman come in off the street in bare feet. and this is such a blessing. That to me, just, you know, that's such a God thing, just to make that happen and to be able to have that partnership. Camp was really great. It was a scramble to put it together and make it work. And me and Ben both didn't know what it looked like and how it was gonna go, but God was in every bit of it, and it couldn't have been more perfect in the way that it worked out. And the kids that were there, just, you know, have been through some crazy stuff, but at the end of it, they're just kids, and they were so great, and they were so encouraging of each other. And just to see these kids open up, you know, from day one to the end of the week, and just hear their stories, and, you know, little 9-year-old girls, you know, sharing these horrific things, and some of the bravest kids I've ever met, and just an incredible experience. And from that, you know, to be able to continue a relationship with a couple of the kids that went and be able to bring those girls to church with me and my wife now has just been such a blessing and such an amazing thing to watch. And then to do work at their home, you know, with the group of guys that you spoke about, and just to watch 20 to 25 guys come together and just be the hands and feet that we're supposed to be for a family, and just be that living out of Christ and what he tells us to do, and for this family, and to see these girls that are in that home become comfortable being around a group of men, which just was such an amazing thing to witness happen because of the things that have happened to them. And just incredible, incredible stuff we were able to do this year. And then the support group, it has been such a blessing to, you know, have different families come in and share and to hear their stories and just to understand there's still a lot of people that think, you know, they're by themselves and they're so isolated in all this, and to have that space where they can just share with people that understand what they're dealing with and understand the ins and outs of, you know, the court cases and everything else that they're dealing with along the way is, you know, invaluable to them as they navigate this path of foster care, which is such a tough thing to do. I kind of wanted to take a minute and just kind of discuss where the state of Indiana is at and kind of how they've kind of revamped DCS through what they call Project Awaken, which they implemented in July of 2025, and how that impacts us and who we serve. And I just kind of want to, you know, give a picture of the reality of what we're dealing with in Indiana. There's just a huge reorganization of DCS. The big thing is they've moved from what they would call regions in the state. So they have like different DCS regions throughout the state of Indiana. They were at 18. They moved it down to 5. So you take caseworkers that had a smaller region, and now you've given them this very vast area that they have to now cover, which stretches them incredibly thin. On paper, it's supposed to streamline things, but in practice, it's putting a massive strain on everybody. Caseworkers, like I said, used to cover a local area, are now responsible for a much larger area. And that leads to higher burnout and higher turnover rates in DCS. They're having a hard time keeping caseworkers, which means foster families often deal with new overworked caseworkers every couple of months. The tribal knowledge of our local community is just being lost in a bigger state machine and it's being frameworked as streamlining the process. And what this is meant to do is to fast track permanency for kids. So they're trying to shorten the window for reunification, sometimes down to 12 months. The issue with that often is that parents are just meeting the bare minimum to get their kids back. They're not going above and beyond to meet the requirements to get their kids reunified with them. And so oftentimes they're not prepared and they're not ready to have their kids back, which results in kids being taken again and being put back into the system, which is just another trauma point in their lives. It just brings up a harder upbringing for them, and it's just a lot more to for them to deal with. So, you know, like I said, we risk sending kids back into situations that actually haven't improved. And it just, like I said, leads to removal again. So, you know, from our standpoint and what that means, how do you think that impacts the families we serve, not just, you know, the foster families, but biological families as well? And how can we step into those gaps and be a bigger support to the people that are going through this?
Mm. Yeah, my mind goes to the education side of things immediately. You're not just removing them from a family or from an area. You're removing them from all social aspects. So, you know, maybe it could be church, you know, in this case with you, Mike, and, you know, how you're impacting these kiddos right now. It could be, you know, it takes so long to get kids placed and tested and evaluated for different either learning disabilities or special needs they may have. And a lot of times there's a lot of academic gap when it comes to foster kids just because they haven't been anywhere for very long. So if you add in that they have special needs or learning disabilities, they have to have enough time to evaluate those for the individual education plans to even take effect. And so if you're not at home with your bio parents long enough, and then you're taken then to a foster family, and you know the beginnings of these processes always seem to start, and then they already have not been fulfilled in a lot of ways. And so then the process when you move has to start all the way back over again. And what that leads is to a bigger educational gap, which leads to a bigger behavioral gap, which leads to, you know, adulthood without the proper education to have success. And so that's where my mind initially goes. We were always, when I was a teacher, we would always celebrate when kids who were either fostered or in a transient situation where maybe they were homeless, we would always celebrate when they would finish the assessments so that when they did move, they would get the proper education plans to meet them where they're at. So that's where my mind goes.
You know, the tough thing, I think, that I see a lot of the time, and when I talk to different families at support group in different places, is, you know, this push to be reunified into a familial situation, you know, so with a relative, or at which, you know, studies have been proven that that's better for a kid, and I get that. But there are times where those situations aren't necessarily safe for the kid to be in. The system puts blinders on to the safety of the child just to put him back with family. And that's such a tough thing because, you know, and in theory it sounds good, but that can't be, you know, it's tough when you have blanket, you know, policy to do that, even when it's not in the best interest of the kid.
I can't imagine getting taken away from my family more than once. You know what I mean? Like, but that happens, and it's probably going to be an uptick in that happening if we're trying to reunify before they're actually ready to do it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and it's, you know, okay, so one of the big reasons kids get taken, you know, is there's addiction issues or there's abuse issues. Now, if a parent or, you know, a relative is just doing the bare minimum to get the kid back and you don't deal with the core issue, you know as well as I do, those things don't just go away. They don't just disappear. And so you're putting that kid back into that situation just because the parent went to a couple of classes or they, you know, they signed some paperwork or they did this and that. And that's just not okay, you know, when you just put kids in a bad spot, you know. And I just, for me, and to speak to the education piece, when you're moving and you don't know whether you're coming or going or you're going to see your mom or dad, or and it's every couple of months, how do you even have the headspace and the bandwidth to even think about school
yeah.
and getting your education.
Right.
So last thing you would possibly care about,
right.
you know, you don't, I don't care about school. I don't care what's going on. And then I look at, you know, the kids that, you know, I bring to church with us and the family I've gotten to work with, those kids didn't go to school for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. The little boy is now in, they placed him in third grade, but he'd never been to school before.
Yeah.
How does that even, like, how is he supposed to excel or succeed in that situation? If he's moved within a year, let's yeah. say, how do you even catch up to a third grade education when you've never been to school before?
Right.
If you're getting moved again, that's yeah. such a hard thing.
Yeah. And then to imagine, them going potentially to another school when he gets to fourth grade
yeah.
and that school having no background knowledge or really idea of why he is as low as he is academically or behaviorally. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have no, and I don't, I mean, you would know this better than me being a former teacher, like how these, it's not like these districts communicate that well with each other and you say where these kids were or where they were at when they were at their school. And
no, they come over with a file. And so essentially they come over as a number.
Hmm.
And, if they haven't been out of school very long, there's not a ton of paperwork on them.
Yeah.
So you essentially get their academic reading levels, how they've done on maybe a few math assignments and what the teacher and administration noticed behaviorally, but you don't get the why.
Yeah.
You don't.
Well, and it's like Hannah talked about, you know, on Sunday, it's like we see the 10%, the tip of the iceberg that's above the water.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get all the stuff that's underneath right. the water. And as to, you know, and she used that, you know, that picture of a kid with his hood pulled up and bent over and closed off. And we think of that as just being a sullen kid who's like just has a bad attitude. And
yeah.
maybe they're just protecting themselves. And you get a note that this kid just has a bad attitude all the time,
yeah.
but you don't understand why that is.
No.
And you don't even understand how to reach out to that kid and why they're acting that way. That's, yeah, that's a tough thing. The one good thing that has come from that, that program is, so Kinship Placements, like, grandparents and stuff that aren't trained to be kinship now get the same benefits that foster parents get. So they get the same financial stipend and help in that regard. So it does help in those situations a lot. So the state has moved forward in recognizing those cases and those situations, which is a positive. I think for Welcome Home, you know, it just reinforces the fact that these families, no matter what stage they're in with this, need support in all aspects, and that wraparound community support. And, you know, as you said before, raising awareness to what families are going through and just, you know, trying to help in the smallest ways that we can. That it seems small to us, but it just means the world to them. Looking forward to 2026. The big thing for us in 2026 is the new building, the new community building that we get to be a part of, which is phenomenal to me. I couldn't have planned it out better if I had written it down and really built the plan myself. So, Denny, how do you think the building will help us catch the families that the system, it's just moving too quick for them and they just don't know what to do? And how will this building help us support this community in a very practical way on a very community-based level?
First off, this is one of those but God moments again to bring this building to us. Renovation starts today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they started today.
Wow.
And it's going to offer every day of the week the opportunity for someone to reach out for help. It has a place. It's not mobile. It's not moving. It's here. And it will offer opportunity for organizations that you're working with, Mike, to be able to have a place for interviews, evaluations, training, you know, just the recertification for foster parents to have to take that annual training and the hours that are required there. Now, all of a sudden, this is going to have the opportunity to serve that need right there with for they don't have to drive to Elkhart. They don't have to go to South Bend. Just right here in Napanee, we have this place to offer that opportunity. The foster closet's going to be another opportunity where they have local support, the opportunity to come in. I think of looking at your ability to have an office to where as people come and meet that midnight placement. All of a sudden,
yeah,
wow, now there's the place the parents are getting help from, that number they can call, that place they can, I don't have any clothes for this kid, what do I do? It's the middle of the night, I need a coat, or I need, that's all going to be available now. And I don't think I can even touch the surface of what we're going to see happening in 26 when this actually starts in reality. It's real. It's here. It's moving forward. And then when it starts happening on a daily basis and you move in there and at the end of 26, I'm going to look back and say, I had no idea this was going to happen. I had no idea we were able to serve families this way. The education part of it that you were talking about, Brant. Mike, you're thinking of so many different things that are way beyond, tutoring, cooking classes, just the stuff that you're thinking about, retail training for kids in the clothing. It's limitless.
Yeah.
When I talked to Brant a couple of weeks back, and I think – you know, the one thing that really stands out, like it takes Welcome Home from being this nebulous idea that kind of floats around and gives it a concrete space, an actual physical space to be like, oh, this is Welcome Home.
Yep.
This is where we are.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is where we hold things.
Yep.
I love the idea and it, you know, it's the foster closet, slash retail space and working with the girls from Made for More. And it will be not anything of my doing, but we are designing this to be a high-end retail space, and the girls are going to take care of that. And I think the idea to give these kids experiencing foster care a real shopping experience for their clothes, you know, in a space like that, not just going to, you know, a Goodwill or, you know, a Salvation Army or something like that and just taking, you know, whatever they can get and giving them the dignity in that, I think is such a powerful thing. To be able to have the therapy space and bring therapists in there to help serve these families on the mental health side of things, I think is such a big deal. Also to be able to provide a safe visit space for, you know, when you have to have supervised visits that don't feel clinical, it feels like a very comfortable space to be in, not an office building in that regard. And then just being able to partner with the different people that we're going to have in there. You know, we spoke about Hannah Stutzman and her having an office in there with Indiana Kids Belong and bringing their resources and what they bring to the table and combining it with what we are able to do. And that partnership, and Hannah's just so knowledgeable in all these things, and that's such a great thing. And like I said, being able to have Made for More in there and what they're being able to do, and then to have the prayer ministry in there and have that building and that space wrapped in prayer all the time, I think is such an amazing thing and such a neat piece to be able to have. And we talk about, you know, and we talk about trying to implement a mentorship program a little bit this coming year and doing some of those other things. And this is, you know, kind of a, you know, just a pie in the sky question. What would you guys love to see happen in that space in this coming year?
A really cool podcast room.
Which will happen.
I don't know if I can project out what I see happening. I think I'm better at going in there and actually visualizing in a space than I am kind of building a hypothetical. But can I just let me just say this: knowing that there is a space like this, as a potential foster parent, Francie and I have talked about respite a lot lately. Whenever that season comes, man, can I just say, like, knowing that you're right there or in this community is like, it literally feels like we don't have to do it alone. And so we can't be the only ones, you know. Yeah. What I mean? So I guess I envision holistically, like I envision that just giving so much peace for people to take the first step or to continue to persevere through it, to see them, like physically see the mission, you know, and not just, yeah, dream about it, but like actually see it and know that their support is just, yeah, I can't fully put it into words, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I think that's, you know, I don't know locally of another space like this for families that have all these things together in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really neat to me. One of the things when I started Welcome Home, and one of my goals and one of my aspirations was to be able to provide that wraparound support all in one space, so families didn't have to go here and there and searching for all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go somewhere and get the help you need and get the questions answered that you need to have answered. And that to me was really important. And I think, you know, I really do hope that we can build a stronger relationship with DCS and the workers there and be a support system for them and be an outlet for them to use in that space as well, to ease some of what they're dealing with and what they're going through. And, you know, I don't ever want people to think I'm knocking DCS and the caseworkers, because they have to deal with a lot. It's a hard job there and they're dealing with a lot of things. But just to be able to be that support for them, I think is so big, you know, and just there again to be in the community is so important to me. You know, we always talk about community and how it takes a community to do this, and to be that space where kids and families know, like, hey, this is a space where I can be seen and I can be heard, is super important to me. But yeah, we're excited. We're excited for that space and what it's going to bring. And I don't know what God has planned for it. I really don't. I can say what my plans are, but oftentimes those tend to change real quick. And God has a different idea in mind. So, you know, that just, yeah, I'm just so excited for that. And I want to take a second to thank all the generosity and the people that, you know, and the organizations and the businesses that came alongside us and partnered with us to make this possible. It wouldn't be possible without these people. And that's so amazing to me. You know, I'm just this little street kid from Pennsylvania, you know, that had an idea and never thought that, it would turn into this. And, it's been so overwhelming and such a blessing to see it happen. So, yeah, I just want to thank you guys for taking the time to sit down with me and go over all this. It's really been an exciting year, and I can't wait to see what happens in the new year. So if anybody, you know, has questions or wants to reach out to us, you can reach us at welcomehomeyouth.org, or you can check out our socials. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Welcome Home Youth. And if you follow those, we'll keep more updates about the building and the progress that's happening there and just all the things we're doing in the new year. So, yeah, thank you guys so much.
We want to thank you for joining the conversation. We're so thrilled for where God has taken us, where he has us right now, and where he's leading us. Continue to pray for Welcome Home Youth Advocacy as we head into 2026. Until next time, pray that God blesses you in the days ahead.